Hello and welcome to the 41st episode of Woman, Conversations for the Curious, a podcast I created for women looking to squeeze more juice out of life. I'm Amy Crawford, founder of The Holistic Ingredient. I'm a mindset therapist, whole food lover, and more than a little bit passionate about helping you feel comfortable around what it is to be a woman. Today, I'm inviting meditation teacher Natasha Mason to the podcast. Tash is also an Ayurvedic postpartum doula, a Reiki healer, has completed mental health first aid training with Mental Health First Aid Australia, and is the founder and director of Nourish Melbourne. I know many of you will have come across Tash's work in the past. A moment of intuition led Tash to realizing that by becoming a meditation teacher, she could help others by implementing a simple being meditation technique to their day. A daily habit that could evoke feelings of empowerment, self-awareness, hope, and despite the challenges we face throughout our lives, a baseline feeling of happiness. This episode is for those seeking to better understand the why behind meditation and for anyone open to receiving a gentle nudge to make this practice stick. If you don't finish listening to this episode with a renewed commitment to the practice, I'm honestly not sure what will. It's a truly beautiful discussion, and you'll soon understand why I was so moved by Tash's calm and grounding energy during the interview. As always, if you're enjoying the series and you've 2 minutes to leave a review on your favourite podcast app, I truly appreciate it. So Tash, I'd love to know, to start, when did you start meditating?
Nearly 7 years to the day.
Right.
Since I learnt with a teacher.
Right.
When I started meditating, that could have been 2 years prior to that, when I started researching, experimenting, dipping my toe in, trying apps, challenges, anything that, you know, sounded interesting, because that's what drew my attention in the first place.
Is
okay. That meditation thing is good for me. Good for me, I'm saying in inverted commas here. For those who can't see, I'm not watching, they're just listening. Good for me. And so I had this kind of knowledge. I didn't have experience. But yeah, 7 years of daily meditation.
Okay, so, and we're going to come back to this daily meditation piece. Can you recall when you started meditating, what sort of resistance came up for you during that time? So for example, you know, monkey mind, you know, any resistance, I'm too busy, I don't have time. What sorts of things came up for you, and what was it that made you continue to make the time? And just, because it's not easy necessarily, is it? It's not, starting a meditation practice, we wouldn't consider easy.
Well, it's a new skill. It's a new way of being. And if you say come into meditation and you're 30, 40 years old, 50 years old, and you've got your ways of being and doing, you know, introducing something that you might see as taking away time from your life. Now, this is also where we need to, what I say, correct the intellect, because the intellect will like to say, oh, that's taking away from whatever. Is it scrolling Instagram? Is it watching Netflix? And, you know, insert whatever it is that you do that you think is more important than yourself. But it's realizing that this thing, meditation, is the one thing that can change everything else in your life. When your eyes are open, we don't do this for our eyes closed. This is for life. And when I finally got that, I'm like, I'm doing this for my well-being, for the well-being of, when I started meditating, my daughter, who's now 7, was 6 months old. I'm doing this for her, for my relationship, for what was to come in parents who are both unwell, aging, who have now since passed. And going through that. And it was that inner knowing that this is more important than anything else. What I do with my well-being is responsible for then how everyone else reacts around me, how their well-being is, and it creates a ripple effect. And when you realize how powerful that is, you do everything in your power to make sure you do this meditation practice.
But it wasn't necessarily from the beginning you appreciated the power of your practice.
Sorry, the resistance. Yeah, like you said, what's the resistance? It's, well, to be honest, the resistance was when I, like I said, let's say it was 9 years ago, I started trying meditation. So what was the resistance there? Was I didn't really know how to do it. I didn't know how to do it. I found it, yeah, agitating. I found it,
Agitating is a good word.
agitating. Yeah, agitating. Yeah, I didn't realize the importance because I hadn't had a true experience of a meditation practice that could, you know, was making impact on my well-being, on my nervous system, on my life with my eyes open. I had no information coming in. So it's like, well, why are you going to sit down and do something? I'm like, I don't know what this is doing. I've got better things to do at 3 p.m., 4 p.m. in the afternoon or 7 a.m. in the morning. So the resistance was, I don't really know. There's a mix of having knowledge and experience, but I don't really know what this is doing. I think it's good because I've read so many others talk about it. You would listen, actually, I wouldn't say podcasts were a thing then, but you would read blogs about, you know, morning routine. This is what I do. And each one would say meditation, meditation, not really talking about what type of meditation they did, how they did it. So really, it was like, well, why am I doing this? If you don't feel or experience that change and shift in yourself, well, why are you going to keep doing it? And I had no support. You know, I didn't have a teacher.
Okay,
I suppose a teacher.
so that was having a teacher was, would you say, a catalyst for really helping instill regular practice?
Yes, because I actually learned a technique which was and still is to this day so effortless, so easy. I had their support, still have their support. This is a great thing about finding a teacher who, like, you know, even myself, I run meditations online for my students every 2 weeks, a space to come together and talk about what's going on in life. You need that support when you start meditating, otherwise you go off into the world and think, oh, I'm the only one experiencing this, and I don't really know what I'm looking for. I don't know why I'm doing this. There can be agitation anyway with meditation. There can be all sorts of things that arise. So having that support was so important, and having a technique that I actually knew how to do, you know, what to do around it, what's correct practice, what's maybe not correct practice. And having that community is so important.
The community. And I think probably a number of listeners listening may not even be aware that there is access to communities when you learn how to meditate to support you through the practice as well. I want to come back to your specific meditation practice and, sorry, type. Is that, it's not the right word, is it? Meditation
Yeah,
style to pr practice?
technique.
Technique. Yeah, sorry. I want to come back to that. But what can you? I'd love to go back to the comment you made about your daughter and how you knew the importance of your practice because of how you show up in the world and how, your energy, and I guess mental health and many things impact those around you. How has your practice impacted your relationships, do you think? How has it helped you navigate, tricky times in relationships, being that partner or kids or friends or
Yeah, well, the thing that meditation does is it removes stresses, or it dissolves that fatigue and stress that we accumulate through daily life and through our what is very busy lives, really, for most of us. We are on the go. We are either in front of screens a lot. We are, you know, at night in front of screens. We are exercising. We are, you know, for some of us, yes, aging parents. There's children. We know with children, there's like, yeah, the day doesn't stop. It's just there are things to do. You know, we are in service to them. And so if we start to meditate and have something where we remove those stresses and we allow them to dissolve, we're building awareness so that when these tricky times come, this is like prep for those tricky times, or when the waters are a little bit rocky, that we have a very grounded, awareness in our being. I can talk about being later a little bit if you want to know what that means a little further, but we have this ability to meet those demands when there's, tricky kids that won't sleep, tough time, you're trying to communicate with your partner, and you just seem like you're on different waves. How do you manage that? When you yourself, have that ability to respond from a place that is grounded, aware, free of a lot of stress and fatigue that you're carrying, you can respond with something, with an answer or a way of speaking and being that is, more evolved than someone who is under a lot of stress, not meditating, purely reacting, not able to respond. So really, I think meditation, the magic part of it, is the space between a demand. So let's say this is a confrontation with your partner or your child, whether it's a young child or a teenager, throwing something at you, and the way you respond is that gap in between of their action and your response, and how do you approach that? And depending how well rested you are and how grounded you are in your awareness will determine that. And we know every reaction has an equal and opposite, sorry, action reaction, right? So we can change things in the way we respond. We can shift that. How do we go about this situation? What is the best approach here? If we're stressed, we can't respond. It's as simple as that. If our nervous systems, our bodies are just overwhelmed, we cannot make use of the full mind and its potential. This is the difference, and it's so subtle. So when I talk about this, you might be listening going, well, what does that mean? If you think about your day and you're not in a practice where you're able to let your body properly rest. Now, sleep is one thing, and we all know I love my sleep too. It's very important. This is where our physiological repair is happening. We're detoxing. I know, Ames, you love your sleep, and you are very, I don't, what's the word? Your sleep routine is very important to you. Okay. But meditation is giving us that rest, right? Where we're actually able to get deep quality rest. Because even a lot of us might go to bed at the right time, but we're not getting very good quality sleep. And we're able to actually get, from the, technique that I teach, 20 minutes of meditation, 4 hours of deep rest is gained through that.
So, Tash, this is bringing up a question for me. To somebody listening, and even myself, I've heard that quoted before. It's the equivalent of 4 hours sleep. I find that really hard to wrap my head around because within that, does that depend on, dare I say, the quality of the meditation? Because we know there's no bad meditation. Any meditation is useful. But that 20 minutes to get the equivalent of 4 hours, is that for someone who has mastered meditation as no doubt you have? Does this make sense? I sort of think, but how can that be? Because if I'm asleep, I'm not conscious of what's going on around me. Surely that's better for me than doing 20-minute meditation.
Well, sleeping is a different consciousness
But it's
state.
a different conscious, right?
Yeah, it's a different consciousness state. And what we go into, the technique I teach is where we're transcending. And this is a fourth state of consciousness that most people have never gone to, might not ever go to in their whole life, but it's actually part of who we are. So you can imagine if you deprived yourself of sleep, which is a consciousness state, how long could you live for? If you deprived yourself of the waking state, how long could you live for? So we've been, for most of us, depriving this state of consciousness where we transcend, where we access another part of our mind, right? For most of our lives, and we wonder why we, life might be hard. I'm struggling, I'm suffering, I feel this X, Y, Z, insert it all. We've forgotten who and what we are because we don't go there.
And oh my goodness, it's so interesting. I'm moving on, actually. I want to ask you a question around how this a bit your ability then, when you have a meditation practice that allows you to overcome fatigue, and when you're the fatigue you're referring to really is. Can you explain that a little bit for me, Tash? Is this the mental fatigue? Which is it just the fatigue of the heaviness of life you reference?
Everything, physical,
Everything.
mental, spiritual, emotional.
Yeah.
When, let's say, you have a conversation with a colleague or your partner and it's a little bit, tense, it's a little bit stressful, leaves you a little bit agitated, whatever. Or you're on the road and there's a bit of road rage, maybe against you, or you feel it because of someone else's actions. Maybe you're at the supermarket and someone steps in front of you in the queue. Think of all these times when you can feel that fire in you is bubbling up.
Oh, yeah.
And this happens a lot in our lives.
Well, Tash, if I can interrupt you for one moment, one really good example that keeps coming up for me that I shared recently on Instagram, which relates to my journey through perimenopause, that I believe I know is there because of my oft reactive state, is when I'm walking Wilson. Wilson's a male dog. He cocks his leg every second freaking tree. And it was a moment when I recognized the reaction, the trigger, and this inner rage that came up in me when Wilson just pulls on the lead really quickly and pieces on something constantly on a walk. It was at that moment when I thought, something's not right here. And that's when I started having conversations with my naturopath about perimenopause. And I shared this online, and so many women said, "Oh my God, that's me. Oh my goodness, that's me. It happens. I love my dog so much, but it brings about so much rage." From what you're talking about here, this practice obviously could support those of us going through that time, this time.
100%.
So sorry, I've sort of slightly interrupted your conversation, but that's what was coming up for me was
That's
I
kind
hear
of
that rage.
like, pull it all
Feel it.
together, rage, right? Fire.
Yeah.
Now, if you've heard, and I just said to you, I was listening to your prior podcast episode with Jodi on Ayurveda, which I'm a big fan of, and practice a lot of Ayurvedic routines in my life and understand the doshic qualities of our bodies and mental health and our seasons, everything, right? Has a doshic quality. Now, menopause, there is a lot of fire happening. And you know what this is from? You know what? And what could make this easier is meditation, because during menopause, what's happening is there's all these stored emotional events. Let's say you've had many emotional events, relationships, for women who've had children. They've not healed their birth trauma if they didn't look after themselves in the postpartum period, which I'm also something that I do is give postpartum support as a postpartum doula. And why it's so important is because in Ayurveda, they will say 40 days for 40 years. You take care in that 40 days, and you will have a very vital and healthy 40 years ahead of you, right? And that goes into menopause and beyond. If that's not dealt with, and I say dealt with, there's no way of pacifying these events or dissolving the stress that those events cause, whether it's from relationships, it's from a very busy, hectic work life and career, from having children and not properly supporting the body in postpartum, whatever it is. And then you've got your everyday things that happen, like I just mentioned, being in, on the road, in a supermarket, at work with people you don't really want to be with. All of these things happen. Where do they go emotionally? Where that experience is stored in the body for later revelation. That later revealing is menopause for women.
So what you're saying is that in a jolt of unexpected rage that's come about for me with poor little Wills cocking his leg is a combination of unprocessed, unhealed, unexpressed trauma or challenge
Right.
through the life, my life. Yeah.
And what meditation simply does is allows us to reveal, release those, all of those things that have been just stored in our nervous system, right? Think of each little event like a little X on your body, a little mark, and it stays there. We're not meditating every day to dissolve, reveal. How can we heal that? And if we don't do that, we get to menopause later in life, and here we go. We're in for a more rocky ride than it should be.
Yeah, okay.
Should be.
But it's still never too late.
No, because meditation works, instantly. It'll start to pacify the nervous system, start to release that fatigue, and we start to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into, not only your current day stresses, if you're physically tired, mentally tired, but we're going all the way back. We start to chip away.
So Tash, when I'd love to go for those for other women in business as an example, I'd love to ask you about, I'd be interested to know how you believe meditation has supported you through your business life, for instance, through the decisions, the stresses, the challenges of business, because sort of what's coming up for me is for someone who, you would agree, I'm sure, that often when you're feeling stuck in business and you can't figure things out, you don't know which way to turn, you're not trusting your own gut. Often I have learned, though I find this very difficult, sometimes the answer can be, if it's possible, having a holiday, getting away, getting out in nature, creating some literal, some virtual space. Would I be right in saying if, for instance, you are in the thick of a challenging time in business and that luxury of a holiday is not at your disposal, that a meditation practice can help you navigate those rocky times, but also help you find clarity in your decisions and the direction of your business and that sort of thing? That's probably five questions in one, sorry.
All of that. It does
Yeah.
all of that because, A, what you're doing is creating the foundation to be able to deal with the rocky times when they come. We're not being reactive. We are preparing. We have this re resiliency that's being built up. We have a strong foundation. We, like the other examples, when times are tough, you don't know what to do. What is the answer? There's less of looking out there and more trusting and knowing. I say knowing, it's kind of like knowing you live in a house. Well, how do you know? I just know. Knowing the city you live in, I just know that. Why are you asking me that? But that's what knowing is. It's as simple as that. Right? You know what to do, and you have this resiliency and belief that where you are right now is exactly where you're meant to be, even if you feel you're at the bottom of the hill. You don't know what's going on. Where do I go? Just keep showing up each day. And this is what that practice does. When you have daily practice and you're showing up for yourself, this starts to translate into everything you do in your life. And if you've got a business, well, that's another relationship. Business is a relationship that you've built, it's alive. You need to tend to it, and you keep showing up for it. Likewise, you keep showing up for your partner in times that are tough, right? You keep showing up for your children, dogs, pets. My dog, I feel, has been one of my biggest lessons, and he's going through a few like gut issues and things, and it's testing. I'm like, I can't talk to this dog, and we can't figure out like what it is. Like, this is a real, okay, I'm really aware of this. Because everything we give our attention to is giving our soma, what is the quality of that soma and attention that we're giving it? So if it's business, and I had a point with my business, Nourish Melbourne, where through the first year of COVID, I just almost threw up my hands in the air and I think I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I don't know what to do. But I also, while I was doing that, I was very grounded and just moving through every day, listening to my intuition. Intuition, massive word that, we hear. We all have it. We all have intuition. We just have a lot of other crap that's in the way of it being able to make its way up from, let's say our heart space to that point up here where we can go, oh, that's what I need to do. Okay. And so this intuition becomes stronger, more refined. We become more trusting of it. So, we get gut feelings, and sometimes you go, oh, yeah, I've got a gut feeling about that. But then you go and do something else anyway. I should have done that. Should have just listened to myself. That becomes stronger. And so again, like any other relationship, whether it's with a human, with a business, with an animal, you name it, we have that better ability because we have that space in between that demand and responding with the full mind's capabilities in action instead of just one of the mind's capabilities. I talk about the capabilities of the mind in my course because we've got five of them, and one of them is thinking. And everyone listening, and even I still do it, we all do it. We overthink. We think, think, think. We think we know all the answers. Think, 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 instead of have space. So meditation also gives you that space. Without space, there is no way you can create or solve problems. So when we say you get greater creativity, this is when it comes to problem solving as well. If there's no space there, how do we solve problems? That's how we find.
So Tash, that brings me something brings me to a question around, the suggestion that when someone might say, why don't you just go and meditate on it? You should meditate on it if you're trying to figure out. People will say that I'm just going to go and meditate on it, on the decision I need to make or the next way forward. Given, and we're going to come back to your practice being Vedic meditation. Given with Vedic meditation, I hope I can answer this question the right way. Given you make Vedic meditation, you can explain more. There is a mantra. So you're focused on a mantra that you're provided. Is it possible then for you to actively say to yourself, I'm just going to go and meditate on this? Or is that not a choice that you would make? You would just trust that a decision. What I'm trying to ask is, do you actively say to yourself, I'm just going to go and meditate on this to find the right answer? Or do you just trust that the answers just come as a result of your practice?
You've just answered it, but I'll use another analogy. If we see, and I know you love your plants, we see, a plant that's the leaves are not doing so well. Maybe a tree, the fruit is not growing so well. We don't just tend to that fruit or that single leaf. We know that we need to cultivate strong and resilient soil. Right, so that when there's that, oh, I need to find answers to things, yeah, they come spontaneously and through our intuition any time of the day with our eyes open or eyes closed. Sometimes they come in meditation, but when we have fertile soil that we're tending to every day, then yeah, those answers come spontaneously, naturally, just like nature does its thing when soil and earth is healthy and fertile. It will grow healthy, beautiful green leaves, ripe,
Beautiful.
juicy fruit. It just does that, right? Doesn't it? It just does that. We are that. We are that.
What a beautiful
These
analogy.
bodies, these bodies we have, they have so much wisdom. And yet we place all of our, almost, I could say, worthiness for some of us. You might feel this, our worth, our reason for being in something or someone else when we have all the answers right here. So, yeah, an answer might come in meditation. Yeah, it does happen, but it often, for me now, it's like in the shower, I was like, oh, boom, when I'm having a massage or something. That's another place. Other places where I'm also still. Or sitting in an infrared sauna, something like that, where there's just no other stimulation, we are just being. Oh, yep, there's the answer for that. Now I know.
And you feel that they come. more freely and your trust in those messages that come has grown greater, for want of a better word, as a result of your practice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, beautiful. So Tash, what would you say to someone who's listening who may well say, oh, look, I've just tried, but I just can't do it. I just can't do it. It's too hard. My brain just doesn't let me do it. I don't think I can. What do you say to that person?
What's your reason for doing it? Why do you want to do it? Do you want to change something or do you want to stay where you are?
Well, what you've just said right there as well is, you know, for many of us, you really need to understand why you might, rather than you've seen lots of people on Instagram talk about their busy morning routines and that's something you should do. Because everyone journals, so you should. Everyone meditates, so you should. You really need to understand what it is, don't you?
You have a good enough reason. If you have a good enough reason, like that fire under your butt to do it. I want to change this in the way I see my life with my eyes open. I've had enough of this way of being. You will do it. You will make time for it.
Do you think it can sometimes be that a matter of the right words coming from the right mouth and the right teacher?
Yes, that's why
it is enough to. What was that? Sorry?
So many of us, there's teachers out there, you know, find someone who resonates. You know, for me, yeah, it is. 99% of my students are female, a lot of them with children, young children, with businesses. You know, because I'll say, geez, how do you do it? You have two children, businesses, family.
How do you? This is a good question for people listening. Actually, Tash, would you? I'd love to know where you do choose to spend your 20 minutes, presuming it's 2 times 20 minutes for you. Would you like to explain to the audience your style of meditation?
Yeah, so I practice Vedic meditation. I teach the being meditation technique, which is very similar to Vedic meditation in terms of the technique. But in terms of my personal practice, you know, I get up early to do it, to fit it in.
Do you?
The night before, okay, when am I doing it the next day? Is it before I pick up my daughter from school and my son from daycare? Is it if my son's at home, or is my husband working from home and then I can fit it in the afternoon before dinner?
Do you sometimes do it and put a sock on the door?
Oh, no, look, I have times. Yeah, kids come in. You just, hey, tend to them and mummy's doing meditation. They are well aware now. So aware that my daughter now has her own little practice.
Oh.
And even at age 4, I think it was, I'm not sure how old she was, 3, 4. I remember her just grabbing one of my meditation chairs and going, I'm going to meditate now. Children don't learn by you saying, it's by your being and what you do. They are watching you.
Yeah.
And so this is, once you build, see, meditation, another relationship you're forming. When that becomes so important to you, you know, that you then have the, you start to get the experience when you start to do it. You're like, oh, I see shifts happening. I want to keep going. That's what brings you back to doing it, because the hardest part, yeah, is actually doing it. The meditation, it's not hard. Meditating is not hard. It's what is bringing you there. And so for someone listening, and you know, if you've never meditated or meditated a little bit, let's say not learnt with a teacher, there are many reasons why. And I always ask this when a student enrolls in one of my courses or signs up privately, what brought you, why are you learning? And it's usually, I would say 9 out of 10 times, stress, anxiety or depression, or I just want to feel better. Now that reason is a similar reason to why I wanted to start. I actually used to have a little bit of anxiety, like I wouldn't say extreme, but yeah, I was like, I don't want to feel like that. That's not the reason I still do it now.
Yeah, and for lots of women listening, again, coming back to this, you know, middle age and beyond, and that journey through menopause where anxiety becomes for some quite an issue, this could be a really good reason to start, because, you know, lots of women, for instance, stop drinking during this time because alcohol can exacerbate that anxiety. So this is a wonderful tool, isn't it, for us to support ourselves through that journey and just make it more easeful.
And like, yeah, if you have heard the episode with Jodi on Ayurveda, we are moving in that phase of life into Vata, which is light, air. You know, think of when it's a windy day outside, which it is today while we're recording this in Melbourne. You know, you go out, if I go outside in that wind and I don't have my ears covered, I come home and I'm a mess, but I'm aware of my, right, I need to have my tea, probably a teaspoon of ghee to pacify and ground that nervous system.
Do you put your ghee in your tea?
Oh no, not in it. I would just have some. Yeah. Or add it to my lunch. If it's if I need it, I'm like, right, I need to just ground down. But well, not only do you get better at being aware of, oh, I feel a bit like this, what do I need to do? And that's why meditation, I say it's like the cornerstone of well-being, because when you're able to receive the messages your body is giving you, you know what you need at any point in time. Do I need a smoothie today, or a hot nourishing meal or a cup of broth? Right, they're both good, but they you know, have different doshic qualities, right? And so, yeah, meditation, you know, going into middle age and beyond, if we're moving into that Vata, air and space element, this is grounding the nervous system. This is what we want to do to pacify that. Okay. So it's very powerful, you know, so it makes those transitions of hormonal sweats, the anger, the, you know, insert whatever.
Yeah.
So you might be experiencing now, it makes it less rocky. We're just, instead of this kind of huge roller coaster up and down, we're just gently, there's some gentle rocking and rolling through it. But it's not going to, you know, break the house down, burn the house down.
Tash, whilst I've been sitting here, unfortunately for the listeners, they're not watching you and they're not experiencing probably the same energy that I'm experiencing, but I need to ask, you have to have noticed, and I've known you for what, 10 years now, I think?
Yeah. We've both had our 10-year anniversary.
That's right, yeah. Yes. So there is a grounded calmness about you that is, not the right word, palpable. Like, to the extent my meditation practice, dare I say, has fallen by the wayside. We've spoken about this before, but my God, I'm feeling inspired. I cannot tell you how inspired I'm feeling about this. I've had so many goosebumps. But what I am noticing as I listen to you is almost how, and it is really windy today, so I actually did go out for a walk this morning and it was I really don't cope well in the wind. But I'm aware of how slightly fractured my energy is, how grounded yours is, and there's this sense of just everything. I'm just coming down to earth, listening to you and watching you. It's extraordinary how solid your energy is. You're just like this amazing even keel. But it's all, what I'm trying to say is it's highlighting how ungrounded at the moment mine is, because I've had a lot on my plate lately, and there's lots of, as many women have, I know, but lots of plates spinning in the air. You know, just trying to be a good human, trying to be a better friend and a better partner and a better business owner and all these things. So lately, during the launch of my Macca, as an example, I've really experienced in my body this kind of feeling of being in a million places at once. But you talking to you is just like, oh my God, I want that. I want to be Tash, this groundedness. It's amazing. Do people comment on it? How your calmness, they must.
Yes.
It's almost unsettling for someone that doesn't feel that, I think. It's almost leaving me feeling
It
quite vulnerable or something. Quite, I'm exposed, I think, my energy. Like, it's just
Hey,
fascinating.
you know what's the great first step is being aware of that. I'm aware of that. Oh, what do we need to do then? How do we balance that? Also, why I love Ayurveda, we're just about creating that balance. You know, one day you might even in your mental state be more vata, airy, erratic. Shit, I've got a million things going on in my mind at once. And then other days it might be like kapha, slow. Oof, you know, maybe I need a bit more stimulation. I must say though, my nature is and still is predominantly kapha, which is a more grounded, you know, earthy quality. But yeah, meditation when I've been meditating daily for 7 years and doing additional practices, you know, to just further what I say is, you know, burn through those demands and stresses that, you know, we all accumulate from childhood to adulthood.
Oh, it's been so wonderful. Now, Tash, I need to tie this conversation up, unfortunately. It has passed the longest episode that I've recorded, which goes to show how wonderful this information has been. I need to ask for the person, I want to talk about how people can work with you, because I think there'll be listeners like, I want a piece of this energy, this calm of yours. How, for someone who may not necessarily have access to a teacher or the capacity to get a teacher, what is a good place to start? A couple of really simple tips. For instance, I know myself when I had chronic fatigue, which is when my journey started, I started with a guided app. I started with a 2 minute guided meditation in the morning and a 2 minute in the afternoon. I did that for a few days. It moved to five, eventually it moved to 10, and then I got rid of the app. That's how I did it. But you, as a teacher, how would you recommend someone commence their own meditation routine?
And what you've experienced is very common. It's kind of like a child having training wheels and then the training wheels come off. Meaning we start with training wheels, we use guided apps. Great, amazing. One Giant Mind. Go look up the One Giant Mind app. They have a 12-day, you know, little program to get you started. The other app that I love is Insight Timer, which has loads of meditations. I've got two on there. I would love to do more, but again, how many hours in the day?
Oh, that's good to know, Tash. I'll link to them in the show notes.
Yeah, I have a couple on there. Find what suits, and it's about, again, just start creating the relationship. You know, start giving attention to this meditation relationship. So start there. And then when you're ready, when you feel like, all right, I'm ready for a technique that's going to go a little bit deeper, it's going to start to shift some old crap. We're going to start to see life through our eyes open very differently. Then find a teacher. I teach online and in person, privately or in group. So, you know, if you feel charmed to work with me, reach out.
Tash, how does working with you look? Can you explain a little bit more about what that involves?
Yeah, so I teach the One Giant Mind Being meditation technique, which is a transcending technique. You can learn, like I said, online or in person, and it's a 3 by 90 minute session course. So you might say attend on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday evening for 90 minutes on each evening, could be online or in person. And you will learn the technique, you will learn about the functions of the mind, you will understand the mechanics of stress, you will understand how do we make this a daily habit. So that's a huge part of it. And you know, understanding what our being is and why this is, you know, really our tool for our own individual tool for, you know, if we're not happy with what's going on out there, whether it's our personal life on or the health of the world on a global scale, start with you. We start fixing it here with our being. So that's how the course works. Yeah. And then I offer ongoing support. So once you've learnt, or you've done a course with me, I run group meditation and knowledge sessions every 2 weeks.
Wonderful.
It's online. So it doesn't matter where you are.
And for the listeners who are on social media, can they follow you to learn a little bit more about you and what you share?
So underscore Natasha Mason
Great.
on Instagram. Yeah.
Tash, thank you so much.
Thanks, thanks.
Oh my goodness. I'm hopping off to do a meditation and I really am going to keep myself accountable to you this time.
Do it. That's all right.
Thank
I
you
mean,
so much.
this is what's about. Just keep getting back on the
Yeah. Thank you. This was episode 41 of Woman, Conversations for the Curious. Whilst we're on the matter of reducing fatigue and stress, you may like to try my beautiful maca powder blend. It consists of organic, raw, red, yellow, and black maca, each with its own health benefits. This beautiful blend can reduce menopausal symptoms, boost mood and energy, support bone density, balance hormones, and even support memory and focus. You'll find it and all of today's show notes over at theholisticingredient.com/41. Until next time, stay curious.